Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. And we're still holding in the middle of our discussion of the various Lishonot that we had in the Mishnah. And so yesterday we discovered that we have the Lashon of Kinyan. That's in order for us to understand the connection of the Kinyanim of Isha to the Kinyanim of Sadeh. And the difference, of course, was the second parak, Lashon of Kiddushin, and we analyzed the nature of the word Kiddushin, and we understood it to be, as Tosfos explained, you are Asura Akule Alma Liyot Shali. This is actually a beautiful paraphrase of the Pasuk, if you think about it. As Rav Tzadok points out, Vavdil Etchem Min Ha'amim Liyot Li. Exactly the same thing. So the Yisr of Yisrael being shayach to any of the Amim is what makes the miyuchet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here too, your Asurim kekulei alma kehegdesh liyot li. Perfect. Okay, so then we were talking about this interesting language of using derech instead of davar, which forced us, because of the fact that derech seems to be a contextual term, which sometimes is Lashon Zohar and sometimes is Lashon Nekeva. Actually, some of the Rishonim point out that a default derech is always Nekeva. And that, in fact, that's why we're so questioning over here about why it needs to be so specific. Okay, but in any event, we mentioned yesterday that the idea is contextual, and that it depends on whether we're talking about Torah or whether we're talking about Milchama. And so we ended up saying that nonetheless, we wanted to choose a term that forced us to change it to Lashon Nekeva because of the contextuality here, instead of using a simple term, which would have been Davar. Why didn't we just use Davar? And then Davar, we wouldn't have had to adjust for its context. So we understood that there's something about the nature of derech that is a reference to the actual events of Kiddushin. And since Kiddushin is fundamentally sexual, even though it's even talking about kesef and shtar, which is not sexual, but since its ultimate purpose is sexual, derech is a reference to sexuality. Because it talks about derech gevra bi'alma, talks about the derech isha min ha'efet, and therefore there's something, notice by the way, that another word for intercourse is derech eretz, right? So that means that there's something about derech. Well, I mean, it's not hard to know what the something is. The entire development of the eretz is basically based on bia. That's what all evolution is about. So if that's the case, then we wanted to stress that the nature of what it is that the person is involved in when he's dealing with Kiddushin is that he has to recognize that that uniqueness is, strangely enough, a uniqueness in the most non-unique activity conceivable. I mean, reproduction is, that's it. That's what life is about. Whether you're talking about bacteria, you're talking about worms or whatever, I mean, like, so this is where we should use the word mekudeshet in the sense of miuchedet to me, all of the world. And that's gufa, one of the most amazing points of the Gemara, that the whole idea of Kiddushin that evolves out of this kinyan is that something unique emerges from something which is the ultimate generic activity, which is, of course, the whole discovery of humanity when they fall in love and the relationship for this specific connection. And that's why the Gemara brings the idea of mi chozer al mi, the Baal HaAveda. The Baal HaAveda, that is also totally generic. I don't understand. Adam HaRishon loses part of himself to become a woman. So now you're saying, well, so who do you expect is going to be Mechazer Achar Isha? Every person. The most complex ways possible, maybe going out with dozens of women and trying to find that particular love that's for you and that particular place in the world is for you. It's quite amazing. So all of this is part of the nature of derech, that which is so common to everyone else and to goyim and to the caveman that the Rambam describes, and it is so miyuchet to the nature of Yisrael. It's really an astonishing thing when you think of it, and we should choose bedafka this concept of derech. It's amazing. It makes your mouth hang open like, oh gosh. Okay. So we were up to yesterday questioning the issues of the use of drachim. Because, okay, we talked about azov. Why do we use drachim? And we explained that, yes, over there, derech means specifically that since it is the nature of the things that we use for the bedika, it's not just arbitrary for the zov, so we want to use derech. It's not dvarim. So it's the derech of overeating, or the derech of overdrinking, and so on and so forth, that causes this zivas in a way that won't be tummy. So that brought us up to one line up from the bottom, where we find another example of derech. But it's not. How do we explain the Mishnah, which says also a lashon of derech when it comes to something strange, etrogim? So the etrog is shaveh le'ilan b'shalosh drachim. Why does it say drachim over there? Why doesn't it say dvarim? So what would be the drachim that we're talking about? Is there something about the way? What is this referring to? So remember that we have various shiurim and various halachas that are nogea trees and then are nogea vegetables. So in what way is an etrog similar to trees? Well, first of all, there's a din of orla by an etrog, and there's a din of netaravai by an etrog, so that's like a tree. And then when we're talking about at what point is an etrog considered to be kadosh b'kedusha shvi'it, it's talking about the chanata. Well, if you're talking about a yerek, the yerek goes according to the year in which it's picked. And therefore, there's something that is very different in an etrog because it's like the other fruit. However, it's like a yerek b'derech echad. And what is that? When it comes to maaser, remember that we have to determine what year of the Shemitah cycle that something is considered to be a product of. Because if it's a product of years 1, 2, 4, 5, then it's chayev in truma and maaser rishon and sheni. But if it's a product of years 3 and 6, then it's chayev in truma, maaser rishon, and maaser ani instead of maaser sheni. So it's very important for us to know, okay, what is this a product of? So if something is a vegetable, it is considered to be a product of the time at which it's picked. But if it's a tree, then it goes according to when it buds. And the etrog, strangely enough, has a din of a veggie, because it goes according to the year in which it was picked in terms of the din of Maaser. So in order to describe that, the Mishnah utilizes drachim. Why does it say drachim? Why doesn't it say dvarim? You claim that we only use the word derech, where what it is that we're describing is the result of some actual natural involvement in that as a reason. So like we did with the bedik of the zav. It's the reason. It's an expression of what goes into the bedika. In what sense is a derech? Say dover. Well, because we want to say in the sefer, it's similar to a yerek bederech echad. So we say shlosha drachim in the beginning. But that's part of my question. Why do we use the word derech echad? Why don't we use the word davar also in the sefer? Ah, because Hatama Kamash Malan, there it's also very important. The basis of this entire halacha of comparing an etrog to a vegetable of all crazy things is because it actually is naturally like a vegetable. In what sense? The etrog is kiyerek, and that's why we actually define maaser the way we would define it for a yerek. Ma yerek darko li gadel al kol mayim, and b'sha'at likituto isuro, af etrog darko li gadel al kol mayim, u'b'sha'at likitato isuro. So the idea is this. Trees normally will simply grow on their natural water supply. You don't water trees. They will grow on the basis of the rain. The one tree that is very dangerous to leave on the basis of rain is the etrog. Because the etrog is very strange. It keeps growing on the tree as long as it stays on the tree, the same way that a vegetable keeps growing in the ground as long as it stays in the ground. The moment that its water supply is cut off, therefore, it's cutting it off from an actively growing organism. And therefore, it's damaged by it immediately, the same way that a lettuce will dry up right away when you cut off its water supply. So in the same way that you need to water your vegetable garden, the moment it stops raining, you need to water your etrog trees. And therefore, since it grows like a vegetable, and a vegetable we know goes according to the Zman of Lakita, because it's basically when it's picked is just as significant in terms of its growth pattern, whereas other trees where the main growth of the fruit was by the main rain of the tree, and that was during its growing season, it goes according to when it blossomed. And that's the whole Tu Bishvat kind of issue of when was Rov Gishmei Shana and so on. But an etrog doesn't have that. And because of that, we treat it like a yerek. Now, look, all of this is a little bit weird because the din of maaser on yerakot, bichlal, is only a derabbanan. So too, according to Rashi, on trees, other than on grapes, those things that are mentioned, particularly dogon and tirosh that are mentioned in the pasuk. But nonetheless, what we're saying is that since those things mentioned in the pasuk, which would include vines, grapevines, and tvua, all those things are godal al the essential kol al rov ma'im, and not al kol ma'im, so they grow naturally with the rainfall, and all of those we learn out go according to the time in which their major growth spurt is. So from there we learn that if it would be the other way around, that then in fact we would have learned that it goes according to the Lakita. So therefore the Rabbanan were metakein based on the way that the Diorite expresses itself in terms of Dagan and Tirosh, the Darabonan, based on that, that when it's not similar to Dagan and Tirosh, it goes according to Komaim, therefore it goes according to Shatli Ketuto. So the word Derech is very profound here. It's the way that it grows that makes it have this halacha. V'hadetzlan, okay, how about this? We've got another Mishnah that talks about a koi. Now, a koi is an animal which is a suffix to us, whether it's a domesticated animal, does it have a din of a behema, or does it have a din of a chaya? There's an interesting Tiferes Yisroel, by the way, who says that a koi is a buffalo. he loves trying to find his contemporary talks about orangutans and buffaloes and things like that. But anyway, so, okay, the question is, what is it? So it says in the Mishnah, well, drachim. Now, that means that we have to understand why we're calling it a derech, not dvarim. Yesh bo drachim shaveh l'chaya, v'yesh bo drachim shaveh l'beima, v'yesh bo drachim shaveh l'chaya u'l'beima, v'yesh bo drachim she'eno shaveh lo l'chaya v'lo l'beima. It's fascinating. So in certain ways, it's like a chaya. Well, if you shecht it, you're going to have to do kisui adam, as if it were a chaya, because it's a suffix chaya. If, however, you want to eat the chalev, which is mutter and a chaya, because a chaya is not broader than his be'ach, no, you can't do that, because vis-a-vis the din of chalev, it's shavela be'ima. If you want to eat it, you have to shecht it. But that would be true both of chaya and behema. However, you cannot treat it as either a chaya or a behema if you want to mate it with something. You can only mate it with its own type of thing, because maybe you're cross-mating. You're not sure whether you're mating a chaya with a behema and so on and so forth. Okay, so because of that, we see it as being similar in these different ways to yes, no, and both, and neither. Okay, so then why does it say drachim over there? There's nothing about the derech, is there, that makes it this way? Well, I'll give you another answer, another example that we just had back in Gittin. Haditznan, zu achat min hadrachim, sheshavu gitenashim l'shechrurei avadim. You have to say, b'fadai nechtav, if you're bringing something from an area where they're not Bekiyim Lishma, or all of the question of whether Edim Mitzvim Lekaimai. So it says that this halacha of saying the Fanai Nechtam of Fanai Nechtam from Medinat Hayam is true both of the Gitei Nashim and Shichurei Avonim. Why does it say Achat Min Hadrachim? Why doesn't it say Achat Min Hadvarim? Therefore, what we need to say is that the real reason why we would use Drachim as opposed to Dvarim. Now, Rashi has his approach here. Other Rishonim argue on Rashi and understand that the Gemara is not saying Ella in the sense of changing its mind about the Zav and about the nature of the Mishnah here that says that Derech is so important. It's adding an additional element that you need to take into consideration. Rashi sees this as an alternative approach. And the idea is, says Rashi, that anywhere that you have, kol echad iika plukta, tani drachim, kol echad like a plukta, tani dvarim. Now Rashi understands plukta does not mean a machlokas in din, which some of the Rishonim do mean, understand it to mean, and therefore it's not referring back to the dinim of Kiddushin, or to the dinim of the Zav, which is perfectly okay to them. It's not coming to change its mind. According to Rashi, that this is an alternative, plukta does not mean a machlokas. Plukta means differences. So therefore, there are things in which it's similar to A, and things in which it's similar to B, things in which it's similar, and things in which it's dissimilar. So in our Mishnah, it says three things, but not chuppah, so it's dissimilar to chuppah. And by a zav, these are the only type of things which are considered to be stimuli for zivas, but not other things that you might think, and so on. So there, if there are differences, then we use the word in this way as opposed to that way. But where we're talking about things that are not distinguished, so then we just talk about devarim. There are things as not things as opposed to other things. In this way, like we would say in English, in this way, way is a derech. But if you're not making a distinction between one way and another way, so then you just say these things. So exactly, says Rashi, that's the point. So we'll use dover if we're talking about things. We'll use derech if we're talking about in this particular way, as opposed to some other way. So kol echad d'leka plukta tani dvarim, and beautiful, Diuk directly from the sugya. Daikanami, take a look in that actual Mishnah about the Etrog. Diktani Sefer Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Etrog Shaveli Lan Lechol Davar. Why does he say Bechol Derech? Because you don't use the word Derech when you're talking about something that is not distinctive. Okay, so that's the point. Lechol Davar, in every possible thing, it's the same. Shmamina, that indeed that would be sufficient explanation according to the other Rishonim, or the explanation according to Rashi, for using Derech instead of Davar. Minyana Dereshalam Utemai. Now we have the Mishnah. I mean, we're talking about three things and two things. I mean, it's sort of easy to count, you know? Kesef Shtarubia, thank you very much. One, two, three. Yibum. Chalitza, death, get, and death, 1, 2. I mean, like, why do I need to mention the number? So Minyana de Reisha, that says B'shalosh Drachim, and Minyana de Sefer, that says Konat Atzma B'shtei Drachim. Why? Why do we list the number? Obviously, we only do that to say Dafka in these ways as opposed to other ways. It's only three. Don't think that you can extend this into a fourth, or only two. Don't think you could extend this into three. What would that be? Well, the Minyana Dereisha is coming to tell me only in these three ways. But if you utilized a chuppah to also create the dinim of Kiddushin, that would not actually achieve Kiddushin. And that would be why it says three and not four. Okay. And what about if you hold that it actually would be a good? Rav Huna holds that, and according to Rav Huna, who holds that chuppah is kaineh and makes also kiddushin. So it's a kal v'chomer, he says. I mean, if chuppah is machlis totally for all of the dinim, like Yerusha and so on, to the kosher kain, it should be kaina legabe the Yisrael Shasish for Kiddushin and so on. So then according to him, why does it say three? It's not coming to tell me not four. So then what would be the miut, the mute mai? That would come to be mamayit chalipi. So chalipin, as you know, we learn out from the story of Ruth and Boaz. So where Boaz goes out to, he first presents to the Ploni Almoni, Mr. Tov, he presents to him the fact that there's a mitzvah here of Geula, of Geulas HaSodeh, and they want to make a kinyan on that field utilizing chalipin. So what do they do? They take off the shoe, exchange the shoe for a minute, and that is a symbolic act of kinyan. But, I mean, it's only basically the what we call the kinyan sudar. You're giving somebody something for a minute. Symbolically, they hand it back to you, and then that's a kinyan. So we see that you could be kona a field with that. So since you could be kona a field with that, then if we're learning out from Stay Ephron that the woman and the field are similar, so then we would think that you'd be able to be kena an isha with chalipin. Sarka daita chamina, hoel v'gamar kicha kicha mi Stay Ephron, ma sode mekanye b'chalifin, af isha nami mekanye b'chalifin. So then I would have thought that we would include chalipin as an extension of this idea of kinyan sodeh bekesev. You could also use kinyan sodeh bechalipin, so you could do a chalipin for a kinyan as a kiddush. Tomash malan, that you cannot. Hey, why not, actually? How did you mention it? It's not a bad idea. Ve'ema hachinami. Well, no, I know that they can't be. The way that I know it is because since chalipin, itnu bepachot mishaver pruta, vishap bepachot mishaver pruta lo mekanya nafshi. So chalifin is something that does not require any kind of value of a pruta. If I take just something that isn't worth very much at all, a chefetz that is just pachas mishaver pruta, it's perfectly kosher for chalifin. But I know that a woman would not really want to affect Kiddushin by exchanging herself for something that's worth less than a shavar pruta, that's a busha for her. That's the whole idea of the Kiddushin, is the sense of her being valued by this man, and that's what it is that creates the relationship of Kiddushin. To say that we could affect Kiddushin by something that is cheapo is the opposite of Kiddushin, especially if we take into consideration that the nature of the word Kiddushin, as we've explained, is the fact that you are special to me, and that the meaning of Kiddushin is miyuchedet. So how in the world are you showing yichud by something that is cheap? And the word cheap is almost synonymous with generic. It's just cheapo. That's not what you want to do for the Kiddushin, right? So that's how Rashi learns. So what about if you would use for chalipin a jaguar? Is that a bad chalipin? Or as Tosfos says, what if the isha is poshetet yada and she's mekabelet? She's only a fine, wonderful. I just want to be married to you, you know. We can use this as our kiddushin. After all, it's just a kinyan, right? So what would be wrong with that? Because of this, Rashi has to understand that there's something innately wrong with a type of kinyan that is not going to be expressive of value. Tosfos says, this doesn't make any sense. If it's just that it happens to be that she doesn't want to be machna herself, so what if she says, I do want to? Or what if you use something that is valuable? Therefore, Tosfos's girsa is, Isha bipochet bishava pruta lo mikanya, not lo mikanya nafsha. And therefore, the point, according to Tosfos, has nothing to do with nafsha. It has to do with the fact that it's clear, therefore, that chalipin is not an extension of the concept of kesev as it is used for kiddushin. Because the whole idea that we have of kesev is value. And therefore, chalipin is not a type of kesef. In which case, even if it happens to be worth $1 million, the chalipin, the Torah was never marba a din of a kinyan, which is not mitam kesef. There's no the new kinyan in the same way that we don't learn out chazaka from a sadat. We're going to say you could do a chazaka with an isha, have her make you breakfast, and that will be the kinyan of an isha. Nobody suggests that, even though the soda is nikdes bechazaka. So that means that in the same way, it has to be kesev, the kesev miknasa of soda shekana Avraham. That's the point. Okay, so this is a big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Now, according to the Ran, the idea is in Rashi is that since chalipin is bepochas b'shava pruta, and we know that a woman would not be makna herself, therefore the words ki yikach cannot be coming to tell me chalipin. So therefore chalipin is not included in the ki yikach ish isha, is not coming to include this element, and therefore chalipin is not included in the language of kesev as used in the pasuk of kach mimeni, natati kesev hasada. So the way the Ran is learning, basically, Rashi's approach and Tosfos are very similar. Rashi is explaining a reason why chalipin is not included in kesev, and Tosfos is just pointing out that the shear of kesev is clearly demanding something other than chalipin. Now, there's another very beautiful, different way to understand this, which actually the Stipler explains, but which is based on a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish proves from many places that when you're talking about a kinyan chalipin, it is not just a symbol. It's not a symbolic kinyan. It's actually utilizing the sudar as a type of purchase. And therefore, it cannot help that she's poshetet yada mikabelet. Why? Because even though when she's poshetet yada mikabelet, as Tosfos says, why wouldn't that be good enough? It shows that she's willing to go through with this. Yes, she's willing to go through with it, not because she feels, yes, this handkerchief is in fact a very good indication of his love and my value. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that she's a sophisticated woman. She is interested in being married to him, and she is accepting this suder as a symbolic kinyan. But there's no such thing as a chalipin as a symbolic kinyan. So therefore, it's not her das to be nikna with chalipin. That's how the Stipler understands it. There's another beautiful, beautiful approach, which I think is really brilliant, is the Dvar Avram's approach. So the Dvar Avram says that the point is like this. This idea of chalipin, where does it actually come from? The deeper sense of chalipin, we can't be mechadesh an entirely new type of kinyan in the Torah based on a story in Ksuvim, in Megillas Rus. The point is that basically, the halacha l'meshim misinai of kinyanim is that those things which evolve to be a way in which people generally are gamer their das to indicate that this is what I want, those things are defined as valid kinyanim from the point of view of the Torah. And it helps midiraisa, even though the Torah didn't discuss precisely this modality. So since normally it would be considered to be a gnai for her to be mitkadesh for a handkerchief, so then that means that it never became a norm for kiddush. And therefore, there's no chalipin. That's all. It's all very nice for a woman to say, I want to be nikdes b'chalipin. She can't create a new kinyan out of thin air. Either this kinyan is actually a norm or it's not actually a norm. That's the meaning of Rashi. So it's not a norm. If it's not a norm, it's ridiculous to ask, because Tosfos asks, why can't she just be mekabel because she says she wants to, or because in this particular case, it's a golden handkerchief. That's the point. There's no such kinyan. It's a beautiful, very, very cute achrenish explanation, but it's very, very cute. Okay, anyway. So
yeah, it's amazing. Thank you.
Okay. So then we end up with, however we get there, chalipin is excluded. So therefore, we have the minyan, even alibet Rav Huna, or not a libet rabuna. The meaning is telling me three, not four, not chuppah, three, not four, not chalip. What about the minyana of the safe? So it says over there, two ways. What are the two ways? Either with a get or with the death of her husband. What is the reason to mention two ways? The minyana de seif is to tell me that chalitza does not help for a married woman. Because salka da atechamina, te te bekavachomer mi yevama. A yevama cannot be yotze beget, but nonetheless, she is yotze bechalitza. Now, a yevama is a very special relationship where the Torah actually defines her as your wife, whether you want her or not. And you must get rid of that zika, remember? That was our big word back in Yevamos. And the way to do that is with chalitza. You can't give her a get. Yes, you can give her a get, mitarabanan, and that will aser her for yibum. It's all very nice, but it's not going to help to be ma to her to marry anybody else. So I would have said, but chalitza does. So it's a kavachomer. If a yavama, where a get will not help her to go be mutter to marry anybody else, is yotze bechalitza, zor sheyotza begate, inodin sheyotze bechalitza. So a normal marriage, which can be terminated by a get, should certainly be able to be terminated through chalitza. Kamash malan, that no. Hey, wait a minute. Why not? Actually, sounds very smart. So ve'ima achinami, what is the reason that you cannot terminate a marriage with chalitza? Omar Kra, Sefer Kritut. Putting the words Kritut into the nature of the Sefer comes to tell me that there's something unique about the Sefer where only the Sefer is Korta, the Ein Davar Acher Korta, as we learned back in Gittin. Okay, now we finally get to the next word in the Mishnah. We learned what the meaning is of Drachim. We learned what the meaning is of the Shalosh. We learned why we talk about niknate. We learned why we talk about haisha. What's the next word? Bekesev. Okay, so now we're up to bekesev. How do we know bekesev? Minole. Now, obviously, we mentioned earlier, but we just mentioned that as an indication of why we would be using the word kinyan, but we never really got into it. And it's actually going to take us some time to discover that the basis of the din of kesev is going to be related to the kinyan of the kicha kicha misteyefra. So we're going to start at the beginning. So let's pretend we never heard of this before. We don't know why kesev is good for a woman. Minale. How do we know that kesev is a valid kinyan for an isha? And I've got another question, by the way. And once we're up to it, I mean, haditnan, look, I mean, we also have the Mishnah later. We're going to be talking about this later, and we've had this elsewhere. Ha'av zakai bebito b'kiddusheha b'kesev u'rishtaru b'via. So the father actually has rishus over his daughter to make her a kiddushin, and he can create kiddushin by accepting kesev for his daughter's kiddushin, and he's zakai bebito. In other words, he is also zakai in the money of the kiddushin, and for money that would be paid even for bia. That's not considered to be prostitution. Somebody comes to a man and says, you know, I really think your beautiful five-year-old daughter is lovely, and I want to marry her, and I always dreamt of having a betulah, 5 years old. How much would you charge? That's perfectly valid. Doesn't sound valid by Western standards, but that's part of the schus of a father bibito, right? So if that's the case, how do we know both of those things? How do we know that the kesev that would come in for the kiddushin is considered to be an act of kiddushin? And how do we know that the father is zakai in that kiddushin? So, minolon de mekanya bekesev, A, and B, bekesev de avuahu. Is there a way that we can address both of these issues? That's why we're bringing it up, because as we'll see, we might be able to learn them together from the same source of kedusha avia. And indeed, Omar reviewed Amar Rav, since it says in the Torah, v'yatzah chinam ein kesev, so here we're talking about the case of an Oma Ivriya who becomes a Nara. So she reaches the stage of puberty, and she's already a nara, and that's simanei narut. So that means that she was just yotze for the state of katnut. Doesn't mean she's a bogeret. So she has reached puberty. And it says she should go out ain for free, ain kasev. Now, last I heard, for free means without payment. So what do I have to repeat? She go out for free without money. I mean, either say without money or go out for free. You don't have to say both of them, do you? So what it's coming to tell me is that ain kesev in this particular yitziyah. So ain kesev la odon ze, but there is kesev in the case where she leaves another person who has in charge of her. And who is that? That is her father, because her father's in charge of her. And when she matures and leaves the rishus of the father, in this case, indeed, she would need to be a bogeret to leave the rishus of the father, that in that case, there is yesh kesem. There would be money. How would that be? Ah, there would be money in the case that somebody took her out of the rishus of her father, even as a ketana. That's the point. So somebody gives money to the father and says, your daughter should be mekudeshet li. She leaves the rishus of the father with that money. Aha. So you see, yesh kesev ladon acher, when she leaves his rishus, because at that point, even if she would get divorced, it would still be a yitoma b'chaye avia, right? Because her father loses rishus. So it's a perfect, beautiful, the father sold her as an ama. She leaves the rishus of the odain. She could also have left the rishus of the father. These two odains are very interrelated because one comes from the other. And there is kesev involved in the yitziyah from the odain, who's the father. Brilliant Rasha. In which case, it's clear that you can be makadesh with kesev. And that the kesev goes to the father. Wait a minute. I get the first part, but where'd you get the second part? Maybe she gets the money. I mean, there's money involved in her yitziyah from the father, yes. But who's to say that the father gets to keep the money? Maybe she keeps her own money. So I don't understand. Yes. Okay, we've established from here that there is such a thing as a kesev in Kiddush. But Ema Ledida. No, come on, that's silly, isn't it? I mean, Achiyashta. If the father is the one who is the only one that can be Makabal or Kedushin, she herself is a Kitana and doesn't have Das to enter into Kedushin. So the father is going to be Makabal or Kedushin. And it says, Et bitina tati le'isha ze. So she's going to take the money? I mean, the whole point is the Kinyan is to the father. So how would she take the money? No, wait a minute. Hold on here. That pasuk at bitina tati le'ish hazeh is talking about what? It's talking about the case of a motzi shemra, right? But the motzi shemra is specifically in the event that she is a nara, not a ketana. So first of all, understand, how are you learning that that's a yitziyah from the shrus of the father? Well, I'll have to understand that pasuk is saying, at bitina tati le'ish hazeh, while she was a ketana, now she's a nara, and he's claiming that lo matzati lebitcha betulim. That's the point. Okay, fine, that part is okay. But once we're talking about a case of a nara, and that's where it says it, bitina tati le'isha zeh, so why, if she is a nara, remember, this is a very curious situation. If she is a nara, then that means that she is a completely independent adult in the sense that she has da'at, and can do whatever any other adult would do. The only thing is that the father has a right to accept kedushin for her, but obviously if she accepts her own kedushin, that's perfectly okay. Nowhere does the Torah say that once she is an adult, she doesn't have the dinim of a normal adult. So then maybe the father doesn't get to keep that money. So imahani mili kitana the letla yata kapa kiddushin. If we're talking about a kitana where she herself cannot be makapa kiddushin because she's a minor and doesn't have that, I understand. He's the only option for the creation of the kinyan, and therefore he is the place where the money goes. But how about if she's a nara? Why can't she be mekabel on kedushin and keep her own money? Where do we get the idea that the av is zakai in that money? Oh, that's a different pasuk. Omar kro b'ne'ureha beit avia kol shevach ne'urim le'avia. Anything that comes in during the time of her na'arut, let's say she has a job, he has a right to her salary. It's all part of the father's rights. So it would include that money. So, but then why is it that we don't learn out that the salary is his from that pasuk? How do we know that a child, a female child, who is still a nara, that it goes to her father if she has an income? If a father has the right to sell his daughter to an ama, now obviously that's only while she's a ketana, because the moment that she is has reached puberty, she goes out for free anyway. So he obviously can't sell her. If mechura kvar, as the Gemara puts it, yotze b'simonim, kol shekein, if she already had simonim, he can't be mocher her. That's not the point over here. It's obvious if he could sell her for income, so then he keeps her income. But this has got to be talking about le'ama. If it would have said kimkor ish et bito, I don't need to say le'ama. We're darshaning that extra word, le'ama, to teach me that the relationship of the father to his daughter is similar to the relationship of the odon to the kitana that he sold. And therefore, a nara has the relationship to the father as if he is her adon. That's the point. So that's where we learn it. Af, same way, oma ma'aseya del rabba, so bat is nami to her father, ma'aseya del avia. If you are correct that b'ne'urea beit avia is the source for keeping the money of the kedushin, so then, if it truly means kol shevach ne'urea l'avia, then why doesn't it say, as the most obvious thing, that if she has a job, her father keeps her income? But we don't learn it from there. I'll tell you why we don't learn it from there. It's because that pasuk, where's that pasuk? Ne'urea beit avia. That's in Matot, with the whole story of the fact that a father can be made for the nedarim for his daughter. That's ne'urea beit avia. What does that have to do with keeping money? What are you talking about? This is a din in Isser, in Afaras Nedarim. Obviously, Rav Huna didn't want to learn out from there because it has nothing to do with the topic on hand over here. Elaba Afarat Nedarim Odichtiv. So the same thing is true here. You're trying to tell me he keeps Kiddushin. How does he keep Kiddushin? The Pasuk is talking about Hachinami, Afarat Nedarim Odichtiv. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, okay, fine, so let's learn out from Afaras Nedarim. If the father is considered to be her master when it comes to Afaras Nedarim, so then he should also be considered to be in charge of her when it comes to the money, excuse me. And when it comes to Kiddushin, excuse me, we should learn out from there. We can't learn out monetary issues from Nedarim. Nedarim is Isser. Mamon never follows Isser. They're totally different concepts, and Mamona mi sur lo yalfina. So, now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but obviously, the Torah gives the value of any money, at least certainly that it has something to do with sexuality, gives it to the father, because we know that if somebody seduces his daughter, or somebody rapes his daughter, who gets to keep the knas? Huh? The father. So you'll tell me, let's learn it out of Knas. And therefore the Kiddushin should also go to the father. No, because we have another rule. Gavi rule. Mamona miknasa loyafina. We do not learn out dinim of momonas from dinim of Knas, by definition. Knas is a chiddush. And therefore, we cannot utilize our judgment and say, well, if this is the way that the Torah viewed what we do with them. No. That's a different world. Fines. That's not civil. That is considered to be criminal. And therefore, it has nothing to do. It's a different world. Okay. Well, let me tell you something else. If somebody rapes a daughter, and then he has actually also caused various damages, he's embarrassed her, he has made her less valuable. There's a pagam, so that's a nezek. We have boshet and pagam, and we learn out that the father is the one who gets the boshet to a pagam. Now, that's not a knas. That's actual value. That's part of civil law damages. If the Torah was mizaka, the father with boshet to pagam, so then it makes sense that the father would be the one who was bizocha for kedushin that was coming in for her dinim of mumen, right? That's what you'll tell me. Let's learn it from boshet to pagam. I say, no, you can't learn it from boshet to pagam. Because shiny boshet to pagam, the avua shayach begavayu, the father is directly impacted by boshet upagam. Now, Zimachlokas, we've shown him how far this goes. Rashi learns that it's not merely that the father is directly impacted. It's that the father owns boshet upagam. Why? Because theoretically, since he is enabled to sell his child for sexual purposes, so that means if he chooses someone, the guy, let's say, the rapist over here, is an absolutely nauseating, low-class individual who, by very virtue of the fact that she was raped by him, changes her entire value in the eyes of people, causes her great... The father can sell her to that same bastard and achieve the same results, but instead be paid for it. So then that means that that money is basically his. That's the point. And therefore, whatever's going to be coming in from this guy belongs to the father anyway, you see. So it's a completely different understanding. Whereas by Kedushin, I mean, why should he keep the guess of the Kedushin? Okay, others learn just that it means simply, since Lamaisa, the father, is impacted by a reduction in the value of his daughter, and now somebody is going to give him the kedushin, which is what he was selling her for, so to speak, is going to pay him less. So he's impacted. Okay. So I tell you, Rashi's pshat is literally the boshet upagam. Anyway, so we don't really have a reason to be absolutely certain that the father should be the one who is zoicha. Not from the posik of binurei beit avia, not from the dinim of knas, not from the dinim of boshet upagam. Where the heck do we know that in the event that she's a nahara, a katana, I agreed, but in the event that she's a nahara, that the father will get that money? Ella, mistavra, dechi kamemayet, yitzia dekavata kamemayet. The point over there is that the yitzia of kiddusha that we're saying, ein kesef l'adonza, yesh kesef adon acher. Who is the adon acher? The av. So you're saying, okay, fine. That is not about who the money goes to. It's about how to achieve the yitziyah. There's no money necessary to be paid to the Adon to achieve the yitziyah. And there's no money necessary, but there is money necessary to be paid to achieve the kedushin, which is the yitziyah from the father. That's not all that it means. It means to be an actual parallel. If there would be money in the yitziyah for the Adon of the Amma, who would that money go to? Obviously, only to the master. You don't have to pay the master. That's the point. So when we're talking about, but there is money involved in another master, it's not in terms of the Yitziyah. It's in terms of the master. So there is money to be paid for the Kedushin to the master who is giving her away for the Kedushin, which means that by definition, the original way that we were learning it from the Pasuk included not only the limud of money as affecting Kedushin, but money going to the father as part of that limud itself. So we didn't need to go through all of this agonizing to talk about, and what if she's a Nara, maybe she should keep her own money. No, the whole point in the Pasuk is that the Yitziyah is in fact a Yitziyah to the Adain. Okay, lovely. So we have gone through the Lashonos, the difference between the Isha being Niknes or the Ish being Koneh. We've gone through the difference in being Niknes or being Kadeshet and what that means. We've gone through the differences of Derech versus Dover in all types of Sugyas and seen in Machlokas Rishonim as to whether, nonetheless, even at the end of the Sugya, the word Derech is fundamentally important in understanding the why and not just the what. We've begun our investigation of the interrelationship of the dinim of the yitzia of an ama and the yitzia of the isha, which is, you must recognize, a really beautiful new twist on things, because we always knew that when it came to gittin, that there was this relationship between la mi'isha, yes, but we never realized that the same thing is true about kiddushin, and that we could actually learn out the various issues of the bitul ama and the idea of the relationship of what creates those yitzias to what creates the knisa as yitzia from the father. A lovely, lovely twist. And we've gotten into the question of the different interrelationships of father to daughter, which include the different stages where the daughter has no das, which include, or where the daughter does have das, which includes rights to her income, which could be learned either from Benurea Beit Avia, or as Ravuna learns it out from, specifically from the Le'ama, that there's a relationship of Amut, so to speak, between father and daughter. The specific dinim of Nedarim, where there's a whole different world. And then the rights to Knas, which is yet another world. And we have, meanwhile, a suggestion that Kedusha Kesef can also be derived from these fascinating interrelationships. So we've had a bright new day, which Richie is sharing with us, with all of the beautiful Nordic sun, which is...
For the last time, Rabbi, because tomorrow, I return tomorrow, God willing, I will be, listening from the Holy Land.
You can trust our intrepid Capitan that Rosh Chodesh Elul, he's going to be in
exactly.
Amazing thing, you know. Who's Richie? Yeah, Richie is the pizza guy. Richie is the guy. Yeah, Richie's the nobody. Richie, what does he know from Rosh Chodesh Elul? You won't catch him dead anywhere but in Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Chodesh Elul. Don't give me your put downs. I'm not listening to you. Yeah, that's not for nothing that they call him the Talis Kareba. Absolutely not. It's not for nothing that they call him the Herzl Rebbe. Look what he's tearing himself away from. Look how beautiful. Oh my gosh. To go into one of those cigar tubes with a fire in the back. Oh my God. Just to get back to Eretz HaKadosh in time. Richie, we admire you. Anyway, it should be a safe and easy trip as much as possible.
Thank you, Rabbi.
And may all of us be zeichet to besuras teves, yeshuas, v'nechamais, and to the kiyum of Hoshia, samecho, vorech, eslach, lasecha, or aim v'naseim ad ha'olam, in time for Rosh Chodesh Elul, and for the end of a year, kola, shana, and kilolotea, tachar shana, u'birchotea, bekorov. Kol tov, everybody.